Jack's the Ripper Diamond with the wonderful day.
Changing the subject to the late, great Johnny Raper. This was everywhere last night. He did some television ads for Jack's the Ripper Tire Man, the late, great Johnny Raper. Wally Lewis, one of the greats, had a bit to say about one of the original immortals.
It is an extremely sad day for rugby league, Ernie. You're right there. Of course, John Raper was one of the four original immortals that every young boy wanted to be like when he was playing football. I can remember my father, the first opportunity that I got to play football, it was always going to be as a lock forward. Why was that, Dad? Well, I wanted you to be something like Johnny Raper. I used to practice in the backyard every afternoon, as I'm sure tens of thousands of kids did around the country, just because they knew that Raper's talents were almost immeasurable. It was an opportunity for them to enjoy the game of rugby league, and he was one of the original guys that that made rugby league everybody's choice when it came to sport.
Wally Lewis talking about the late, great Johnny Raper, one of the, well, not only, well, a lot of people have described him as the great, one of, well, perhaps the first great personality or celebrity character playing rugby league, and certainly one of the sport's greatest players, and somebody who knows certainly a bit more about him than I do. Played with him for a long time at the Mighty Dragons. He played on the wing, scored tries in six consecutive grand finals, and was there with, I think, for about 10 years with Johnny Raper, and that's Johnny King who's on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Richard. How are you going this morning?
Very well indeed, thank you. Johnny, yourself?
Oh, not bad, mate. All right. Sad, yeah, I'm pretty good.
A sad day yesterday, but not unexpected, John.
No. He's been in a nursing home, best part of 5 or 6 years. He's been there quite a while. And, as time goes on, he's just slowly deteriorated, and, well, finally till yesterday. Then he passed away yesterday, and it's been a sad day for football.
Very sad day. Born in Revesby, he was one of nine boys in the family. Played his junior rugby league with the Camperdown Dragons. Went on to play President's Cup for Newtown. Played first grade for Newtown in 57. And then he went to they were the then reigning premiers, the St George Dragons. But sent out most of that season, I believe, in 1958, because there were residential restrictions, weren't there, on joining rugby league?
Yeah, residential players. You had to play for the in your own area. You're a residential player, and he was a residential player of Newtown, and when he moved to St George, well, he was more or less suspended type of period for 12 months because he broke the law, he broke the rules, not so much the law, the rules. And he was more or less suspended for that first 12 months he was there.
You joined the Dragons in 1960. Yep, yeah. So you spent, what, about ten seasons playing with...
10 years I played with St George. I went from 60 till the beginning of 71.
A lot of talk about the fact that he was a very conscientious trainer. He used to go above and beyond with his own training.
Yes, that's true. We'd train on Tuesday. Well, Tuesday morning he'd be training at the Tattles' Club in town, and he'd do a training session in there, and then turn up at half past five to train a full session with Killer, like Ken Carney at the time. Well, he'd virtually training twice a day. And he kept that up nearly the best part of his career.
And legendary, the fact that he liked having a good time, and even if he was out all night having a good time, he'd quite often do early morning road runs before a game.
Oh, well, that's right. If he had a late night, well, he'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go training and run it all. Any grog he had in him, he'd run that out. Then he'd back up for his work at the time when he was a policeman, then turn around and come train at 5 o'clock, half past five.
Yeah, quite
a shot. And be one of the leaders at times when we used to train. You wouldn't want to be behind him. He smelt like a brewery when he was running in front of you. So I chucked you out a late night last night, mate, did you? So I had a couple of beers. He said, but he was always out the front and he'd set the pace. So, he was a hard man to try and beat, but come to train and a great footballer to go with it.
Great footballer. And what was he like as a teammate, John?
Oh, he was one of the, like you say, one of the boys, but a dedicated player to the side. He committed 100% to training. He's dedicated to whatever killers, whatever the moves were on. He'd go right through it with the players, so everybody fully understood what the position you were playing, who we were playing against, what the ability of the opposition was, who were their best players, and then we'd work out a strategy, what we had to do to try and beat them.
I must ask you, you toured that 67-68 Ashes tour over to the UK and Europe. You played in France as well. I think you played in all those tests.
That's right.
And look, well, firstly, I think it was in the first test against England, he suffered a fractured cheek. Is that right? And he missed
That's
the second
right.
test.
He had a fractured cheekbone, yeah.
He came back in and he captained in the third test, which...
He captained because Reggie broke his leg. He broke the fibula bone down his leg, and that put Gaz out of the team.
And so Johnny Raper was captain in that third test, and I believe that the ground that you played on was apparently frozen. It was rock hard, and legend has it that Johnny overheard a couple of the players. I think it was Roger Millwood, and I think Cliffy Watson was also in that team. There's a name people would be familiar with. But according to legend, Johnny overheard them saying, "Oh, we don't want to play in this ground. It's too hard."
Too hard. That's right. That's correct, because when it's virtually like skating on ice, it was like going out into an ice skating ring and just sliding all over, because once you run on the ground, all you heard was your little springs going click, 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 running on the ground, and the pommies, they were whinging about, "Oh, it's too hard, it's too hard, we don't want to get tackled on this hard ground." And they never shut up whinging. They kept whinging to the referee. They wanted the referee to call the game off because the ground was too hard. And Rape kept saying, "What a mob of bloody prima donnas these pommies are."
And he was I think, man of the match in that third
test.
That's
right, yeah. It didn't worry Chook about playing on the hard ground. He just kept coming at them and knocking them over and tackling them. And they just hated getting tackled with the ball, the Englishmen.
Look, the other incident on that too was the bowler. The bowler hat.
Poor old Chook, yeah. He got blamed for the bowler hat. Supposed to walk up the main street of Ilkley with nothing on but a bloody bowler hat. That was all, mate. The only one that had the bowler hat on was in the pub was Dennis Monty.
Okay.
Poor old Dennis looked like getting sent home because he said, Chook, naturally being vice captain at the time, turned around and said, no, it was me. So the reporter said, "Oh, well, if Rape wore the bowler hat, well, it's a better story if Rape's got it rather than Dennis Monty."
Well, he hung on to the legend, though, didn't he?
Rape, he lived it. He took the glory, no doubt about that.
One of the original immortals, and I think he's the last surviving member of St George's Immortals, or it was.
There's only Rape and Gaz were the two immortals from St George.
Very sad day. And look, I believe St George are going to celebrate the playing careers of both Norm Praven and...
That's right. I think it's on the 18th of March or something. They're going to notify us and let everybody know. And rather than have two separate ones, join them both together and have it on their very first game.
Yeah, it's a 7:15 daylight saving time. I guess Johnny King, who of course played, you scored tries in 6 consecutive grand final wins for the Dragons. Johnny played in 8 consecutive grand final wins for the Dragon. A lot of people have been talking about, you know, the greatest player of all time, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that, Johnny Raper being the greatest rugby league player?
Well, my idea of... excuse me, of Rape was his defence. His ability to he covered everybody, playing lock. He'd drift across the fields and like a drover's dog behind the fence. He'd just move across behind the back line, and if somebody made a break, he was there to tackle him. He was there to tackle him in the forwards. And he could play 5/8. He could play lock, which he normally played. He's done that with St George in different games. They just moved Rape from lock and put him at 5/8, where he had control around the pack of forwards, and he dictated the game as much as like Brian Clay did. As Brian Clay was there, he'd dictate the rules and what was on and what the moves are on. As I was saying earlier, Reggie was brilliant out in the centres, but no doubt in the world, Rape was a more constructive player than what Reggie was. Rape can really control his forwards and control the... He really controlled the game when he ran on, and he had the ability to run from the dummy half, where in those days that was very rarely ever heard of. But Rape can run from dummy half, make a break, and next minute he had Reggie sitting beside him. And I said, well, you know, I used to say, well, if he can do that, all I can do is sit beside Gaz, and the game would become easier for me, because I didn't have to do too much running.
You played with Johnny Raper when he was captain and captain coach. What was he like as a captain and a coach?
Oh, similar, as I was saying, he's controlled, but making sure that every player knew what the who were playing, the opposition, knowing what their method of their game is and what structure they got, and just pick at the pieces. And we'd sit down and discuss it on a Tuesday and then on a Thursday night of training. And we'd practice the training that night. We'd do your hard training, and when we're doing the ball work, we'd make out we're playing against the opposition. This is what we've got to do. And the reserve grade players would be brought up to play as opposition and say, now, this is what we expect you to do. We'll come against you, and we'll try and we'll beat you. We'll make out we're playing just in the game and go through what we're going to do to beat you. It was just trial and it was continuous. On every Tuesday and Thursday, the same thing was against any side we were going to play the following week.
Yeah, the late, great Johnny Raper. Terrific. Thank you very much for your time. Great to talk to you,
Richard.
Johnny, and you have a good day.
Thank you very much, mate. All the very best.
Likewise, and to you too. One of the Dragons' greats, Johnny King, on the late, great Johnny Raper.